Hello and welcome back to the preview show. It is the first one of the year. It's 2023. We are at last going to get some road cycling back on the TV. And I'm delighted to be joined by Chris Harper, now of Team Jayco Alula. I think that's how I'm going to say it, Chris. I don't know if you've got any inside information on that.
Not yet. So hopefully
we'll just go with Alula.
Yeah.
So, Chris, welcome. Great to have you back. Had you back this time last year. I'm thinking you're pretty excited for the race coming up this weekend.
Yeah, for sure. Thanks for having me. And yeah, like you said, looking forward to getting back racing. Feels like it's been a while since Lombardia.
Since we spoke last, you've obviously made the switch of teams. So you've switched over from Jumbo Visma. You're back with an Aussie team now, which will give you quite a lot of teammates for this race. But what was behind your decision to make the change over to Jayco?
I think the main thing for me was just talking to the team and sort of the opportunities and where they sort of saw me as a rider and sort of the potential of where I'd slot into the team and the sort of role I could play within the team. For me, it just felt like a nice, I guess, good way to put it would be progression for myself, and just sort of excited me with the plans that they had. So that was pretty much just the main reason. I mean, obviously, moving to an Aussie team is also pretty easy. You think, you can slot in with the culture and already know most of the guys on the team. So I think that also makes it an easy choice.
Now, looking back at last year, I rewatched the race today just to remind me of it. I don't ever recall a road race kicking off so early. I mean, last year we're talking about 100K to go. I think yourself and Durbridge attacked, and it continued on like that for about 20K. You got a group off the front, then Platt did a big effort on the climb. It got it all back together, but by that point there was, I think the field was down to about 20 or 30 riders. It seemed very chaotic.
Yeah. I think definitely last year was quite chaotic. And I think a few years I've done nationals, it can be really sort of hectic in the first three laps, or it can go the opposite way and it can be, not a heap going on. I think a lot of it just depends on who you've actually got in the race in terms of riders. And obviously the last couple of years have been a bit different with COVID and all that, with some guys not wanting to come back and do the nationals because of all the quarantine rules and that. Whereas having a bit of a look so far, I think it looks like there's quite a few guys come back and going to be in the road race. So it'll be interesting to see how it plays out.
Looking back, I think last year, because Bike Exchange didn't have a strong team, not as strong as previous years, it really just seemed like everybody just thought, let's just go for it. You were attacking really early.
Definitely last year they didn't have anywhere near the numbers that they have had. But I think also the cycling domestically is... I think, a few years ago, I can remember you had now what's called Bridgelane, obviously one of the biggest teams in Australia. And, they always had a strong group of riders. But also a few years ago, you had like teams like Budget Fort Lifts with lots of guys in the race. You had Drapac, which was the pro continental team. So you had all these big teams that were, all had ambitions and there'd be a bit more control, whereas last year it sort of just felt like just chucking everyone in. It was more like a club race, like everyone just smashed themselves and then we'll see what happens at the end.
And it seemed like yourself and Luke Durbridge cancelled each other out. Whenever one of you attacked, the other one seemed to chase. Were you aware at the time that Plapp was kind of, I don't want to disrespect him, but he was sitting on. He wasn't doing anywhere near the amount of work that you two were doing.
Yeah, I think probably Durbo and I both realised that, late in the race we thought, we've screwed up here, because, I think we were both really focused on each other. And, like you said, a lot of the time if Durbo did something, I'd fix it, and vice versa. If I did something, Durbo would fix it. And we gave not just Platt, but we gave a lot of good riders a free ride. Which, I mean, for Durbo and I, it's also mentally frustrating because, you know, a lot of the riders there at a continental level in Australia, once they're with you, they won't do anything with you because you're the World Tour rider and it's your responsibility. So sometimes that gives, I mean, it gives good opportunity for some riders to sort of sneak off the front. Whereas if Durbo and I want to do anything, there's about 10 guys chasing just to jump on the wheel. But yeah, we definitely, yeah, I'd say underestimated, but I think as the race played out, we sort of also just, you know, not forgot about Plappy, but didn't really give him as much attention as what we should have, that's for sure.
And in typical, well, this road race in particular fashion, the winning move didn't go on the climb. We spend all their time usually talking about Mount Buninyong, and the winning move goes on the flat.
Yeah, it's funny because everyone says like, oh, you need to change at Buninyong, and you know, it only suits climbers and that sort of thing. But you know, I completely disagree. I think the years of the race that I've been up there or on the podium, most of the time the winning move goes on a different bit of the course, not the climb at all. It's actually a really hard climb to make a difference, especially if you get a headwind up Mount Buninyong. It's almost impossible to get people off your wheel. It's not like it's some crazy tough climb, and I think you've seen that over the years. You know, like someone like Richie can never really shake everyone on the climb and go solo and win, so he hasn't been able to win nationals. Whereas you get a rider like Gerrans, who can pretty much rock up. No one can get rid of him on the climb. No one can beat him in the sprint, and it's yeah, he almost made it look like a piece of, yeah, a piece of cake.
And for years, you've been fighting against Bike Exchange or Orica or whatever they've been called. You've finished a second, you've finished a third, and now you've gone and joined the dark side. So now you're in with the Bike Exchange boys, Jayco Alula. The team you're bringing this year is very strong. Nine men: yourself, Durbridge, Hamilton, Hepburn, Matthews, Quick, O'Brien, Porter, Scotson. I've not seen the official start list yet, but I would imagine that'll be the strongest team by a considerable distance. Some of the other teams this year, Bridge Lane in particular, don't look particularly as strong on paper, but you'll know more about the kind of local riders than I would do. What do you think going into the race having such a strong team?
Yeah, I think it's, I mean, it's always going to be a benefit on that course if you have a strong team, just because I think it allows us to be on the front foot all the time. You know, unless we screw it up, of course. But I think when you look on paper, the guys we have in the team, I think, you know, there's a scenario where pretty much everyone in the team can win the race. And yeah, I think also having a rider like Bling coming back and doing the nationals, obviously, I think a lot of people will probably focus on Bling because, as I said, you know, like with Gero, it's sort of a nice course for Bling where it could be really hard for people to get rid of him on the climb, but you can't imagine too many guys being able to beat Bling in a kick at the end of a hard day like that. So, yeah, I think it's great for us having a strong team, but I'm not 100% sure on the start list. But I know there's, you know, a couple other World Tour teams that have got a couple riders in there, so I think that could make for particularly the start of the race, you know, really important for us to sort of set up the race properly.
And it's been a long time since we've had a breakaway win. But as you mentioned,
Yeah.
like you've got, so Lotto are there with three riders, Caleb
Yeah.
including, Ben O'Connor's there, Jay Vine's there, Flaps there, Clark, Chris Hamilton. I think he's got a teammate as well, the young guy, Dinham.
Yep.
So looking at it on paper, it's the best start list we've seen here for a number of years.
Yeah.
But I suppose the presence of the proper climbers like O'Connor and Vine, who will obviously want to try and drop people on the climb. You've then got Ewan, who nobody will want to take to the finishing line either. How do you see that sort of dynamic going within the race?
Yeah, I mean, it'll be interesting to see what Ben and Jay want to do because, yeah, I guess they're in a similar position to me where, the only way they probably really feel confident about it is if they get away by themselves, solo. I can't imagine they're really wanting to take too many people to the line. So, yeah, as I said, it could make it quite aggressive at the start, even. Yeah, in previous years, once you get those sort of couple good riders on the start list, but they don't really have a team to support them, I think it either goes two ways, and you either see them race super aggressive at the start to try and, make it a small group early, or you don't. They sort of race like Plappy did last year, and they don't really do anything and just sort of hope the race develops in a way that they can make a difference in the final.
And this time of the year is often my favourite because we have nothing to compare anything to. I know there's been the Bay Crits, there's been a little bit of racing, and you get so much gossip and rumours coming over from Australia about, oh, we saw so-and-so and he was smashing it, and we've seen so-and-so and he's smashing it. So how's your legs just now? How's your winter slash summer been?
Yeah, I'm happy with my preparation into the summer. I've been able to have a really nice consistent block of training here in Adelaide. So I feel like I'm in good shape. Had a good rest after last season, and then got back into things. And I think, yeah, obviously having a hard finish to last year as well probably helped me come up a little bit quicker this year. After a couple of weeks, I started to feel pretty decent on the bike again, which yeah, maybe just finishing the Vuelta and then a couple hard days in those Italian classics. So no, nah, I'm quite happy where I'm at going into not just nationals, but obviously the week after we've got Down Under, and then after that Cadells. So I think I'm in a pretty good nick for the whole Aussie summer.
And have you heard any rumours about who else is in for him?
No, not really, actually. I keep pretty out of all that sort of stuff. And I think as well, being here in Adelaide, you're a bit away from it. Sometimes you hear the especially there's a lot of crits and that in Victoria. So I think a few of the guys do that, and you sometimes hear, oh, this guy's flying and that. But yeah, like you said, we actually don't. I can't really think of any way that. At the moment, there's no real, other than the Bay Crits, you haven't really seen anyone race for a while. And particularly, a lot of the pros coming back, some of them have just come back from their pre-season team camps in Spain or whatever. So you don't really know how everyone's traveling at the moment, or whether it's a big focus for them, or they're just doing it because they're in Australia and they think, why not? So yeah, it'll be interesting.
I have heard one little story, and that is a certain defending champion, Luke Platt, was in a pretty bad crash in Tassie a few weeks
Oh,
back.
really?
Obviously, he's going to be racing, and he raced in the Bay Crits, and he looked like he was certainly, I think that first day he was controlling it for the sprint. But I'm hearing that he's now back to a reasonable level, but potentially not at the level required to challenge for the win.
After last year, I'm not going to believe that if he tells me it.
Now,
He'll still be pulling through.
looking at as I say, take it with a pinch of salt because these stories are usually believed. In terms of weather, it's going to be a hot one. We're looking at 32 degrees. You are a rider who doesn't mind a bit of heat.
Yeah, I normally enjoy racing in the heat, so it doesn't really bother me, but yeah, it is a bit of an extra dynamic. I think normally, yeah, the years I've done nationals where it's been a hot day, it's really killed a lot of the field. So yeah, if it is hot, I think it could, especially we've had a pretty most of, here in Adelaide and also the eastern states, I think we've had a pretty rubbish summer really so far. It's been pretty cold a lot of the time compared to what we normally get. I think it's normally only been, at the moment, it's been the western states have had a bit of more proper summer. So yeah, it could be a good thing for someone like even Ben O'Connor. I'm sure he's used to training in the heat now, whereas yeah, guys from Victoria and that might not have had as many days to get used to it yet.
And you mentioned the wind earlier, that can all play a big part in the race. It looks like not much of a wind. It's kind of starting from the northwest, and as the day goes on, it's kind of coming from the west, which will mean a tailwind up the climb. But it's only, I mean, it's like 8K an hour. It's
Yeah.
nothing, but it's not a headwind. So
That's good.
potentially good news for those who want an attacking race and a fast climb.
It is. It's always does it. Yeah, it doesn't sound like it should, but it always does play a big factor. If you get get the wrong wind up Mount Buninyong, it can make it pretty. Yeah, it can give some guys pretty good sit on the wheel. So, yeah, for me, it's definitely. I'm definitely happy if it's not a headwind.
Now, looking ahead away from the nationals, that you mentioned already, you're going to race Tour Down Under and the Cadel race. The team look to be taking a super strong team into Tour Down Under. No Wollongong Hill this year, but Corkscrew Road is back, and we have Mountain Lofty brought into the race. How do you think the absence of Wollongong Hill is going to change the race?
Yeah, I mean it's nice to mix it up. I think we still go up Wollongong Hill once and then come back down and then finish in the town. But yeah, it does change it a little bit. I think it's nice that they've mixed it up. It would have been nice to have maybe a finish sort of still, like the Corkscrew finish is still that stage in the past. You've sort of seen a group get away, but they can also get brought back just before the line by quite a big group coming back. So it is interesting how I think it'll be a pretty, I mean, they've changed the stages, but for me, it still feels kind of similar dynamic or similar in the sense of who can win the race overall. I think you could have someone who, a climber, someone like Richie Port, who can just be exceptional up Corkscrew and create a gap, and that sort of decides the GC. Or again, you could sort of see, a lot of guys on similar sort of level, and it comes down to those bonus sprints again.
And that final stage, Mount Lofty, is that a climb you know?
Yeah, Mount Lofty. Is actually only about 5K from where I am at the moment. So we do loops and on Mount Lofty, but Mount Lofty's quite more like it's quite a short, not super fast, but quite an explosive climb. For me, I'd picture it, yeah, unless anyone's like really exceptional and can really make a difference. It's probably more of one that, might finish with a couple guys having a bit of a kick.
Because it's, I was looking at the numbers and the stage of the short one, it's only 112K, but there's
Yeah.
2,800 meters of climbing, which, thinking about it, is probably the most climbing I think we've ever seen in the Tour Down Under.
Yeah.
But a lot of that is at the start. I think there's a big climb at the very, very start of the race, and then you go onto the laps.
Yeah, I think we go up the freeway, start down in the city up the freeway, and then we start doing the laps. And I mean, the laps are, it's rolling the whole time. It's not never really a flat bit of road. So it could be hard, but like you said, it's also quite a short stage. But I think a lot of the time with Down Under, as far as I can remember, anyway, a lot of it really requires someone being super exceptional on these stages to make a difference. I mean, obviously Richie's the always been the guy on Wollongong, but also like what he's been able to do on even something like Parracombe. But other than that, there's never really been these crazy time gaps or anything. It's more just, having one guy or even Corkscrew. It's only ever been the I think it was Cadel 1 year won it solo, and then Geraint Thomas won it 1 year solo. But other than that, there's never really between that it hasn't been crazy big gaps. So I think I guess it's exciting for the race because you don't really know what sort of rider can win the overall, but yeah, it should be interesting actually.
Especially with them throwing in a prologue in the opening stage. I thought that was quite a nice move.
Yeah, the prologue should be cool. It's down in the city, just on the Torrens there. So I think it's a bit of the course is actually where they used to do the Criterium on the last day a while ago. So that'll be really cool actually. And I mean, I think things like that are always pretty spectator friendly as well, which is nice to be able to do something like that.
And then looking ahead, once you finish your block in Australia, where are you heading after?
After Cadell's, I'll head back to Europe a few days after. And then I think I'll do a bit of work at altitude, and then my first race in Europe will be Paris-Nice.
Cool. And last year, I was just thinking back to your season last year, some highlights, definitely your performance in the Dauphiné. I thought that was pretty exceptional. You were working the front, to be fair, but you lasted a long, long way into a lot of those stages, and also the Vuelta too. That opening time trial, how good was that when you smashed everybody?
It was pretty cool, yeah, for sure. I was so nervous in the bus before, especially after we went and did the recon ride of it. I was just thinking, oh, I don't want to screw this up or all that, especially when you look at the guys that you gotta chop off with. But no, it was so cool, especially to get over the line and actually know we won, and you know we were sort of the home team, so everyone was super happy. But yeah, it was also pretty cool to be able to get Robert in the red jersey as well. That was I think that was pretty special.
And the Vuelta itself, again, you were doing a lot of work for Primoz, but you were looking super impressive. You seemed to kind of get stronger as the year kind of progressed. Obviously, Dauphiné kind of June time, and then you've kicked on the Vuelta at the end. When you end the season pretty strong, does that help you mentally over the winter?
Yeah, I think so. And I think as well, because I've had a couple setbacks the seasons before, I hadn't actually gotten a grand tour in my legs yet. So I think it was really important to be able to do the Vuelta and get that in my legs. And like I said, I felt like this year when I got back on the bike and got training, it sort of came a little bit quicker because I guess because I had the Vuelta and then a few hard one day races at the end of the year. I feel like I got back to some decent shape quicker. So yeah, I hope so anyway. I'll keep yeah, I'll go with the positive attitude and say that it's helped me towards this season for sure.
Well, we'll see a little bit this weekend. So, Chris, thank you very much for your time. Best of luck this weekend. Be cheering you on, hoping to see you claim that jersey at last, and best of luck for the rest of the season.
Yeah, thank you very much. Thanks for having me.